This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you, Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always join me on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us up on the network at VSiN Live. We have a busy week ahead of us, a busy Tuesday in sports. We have a full slate of NBA games, NHL games, as the NHL will head to its Christmas break after Tuesday. So no games on Wednesday or Thursday. The NBA, nobody's going to play on Wednesday, Christmas Eve, but we do have the marquee games coming up on Christmas as well. We have the NFL games coming up on Christmas. College football bowl games continue. We have three bowl games here on Tuesday. Plenty to get into. Let's start in the NFL, where we recap what we saw here on Monday Night Football, and that was the San Francisco 49ers with a convincing win over the Indianapolis Colts, a high-scoring affair that flew over the total. I mean, in the first half, it was like you knew this game was going over. 48-27 was the final score, as the 49ers improved to 11-4 on the season and remain in control of their path to the number one overall seed in the NFC playoff picture. In fact, if the 49ers win their remaining two games, this is the last time tonight, after this Monday night game against the Colts, the last time they get on a plane. For the rest of the season, that's it. Because they are home against the Bears on Sunday night. They are home the following week against the Seahawks. If they win those two games, they'll be the number one seed in the NFC. They'll be home in the divisional round. They'll be home in the championship game. And the Super Bowl is in their home stadium there in Santa Clara. So the opportunity is right there in front of San Francisco. No more travel for the rest of the year. Speaking of San Francisco, real quick, we'll talk about this game. It's great performance by their offense. Brock Purdy, I mean, is this the best we've seen Brock Purdy play this year? Brock Purdy, 25 of 34 for 295 yards, 5 touchdowns to 1 interception. His coach, Kyle Shanahan, after the game was asked if this is the best we've seen from Brock Purdy.
I think he's playing pretty consistent how he's played. I mean, I think Brock's played at a pretty high level since he's gotten in this league, and I honestly think he's playing very well, but I think he's always played pretty good.
Kyle's right. Brock is playing consistent. 295 yards tonight here on Monday night against the Indianapolis Colts. Guess what he did last week against the Tennessee Titans? 23 of 30 for 295 yards. And yes, he had some shaky performances before that, but also he's been injured all year. Maybe now we're seeing healthy Brock Purdy. After he missed a large portion of the season, he came back in November, had a couple of shaky performances, but they've won all these games. He came back against Arizona, threw for 200 yards, they won. He threw for 193 only against Carolina, they won. He threw for 168 against Cleveland in that weather game, they won. And now wins against Tennessee and Indianapolis. So maybe this is just healthy Brock Purdy now at the end of the season. And health is something that the 49ers have not had this year. In fact, if you look at the coach of the year odds in the NFL right now, and this is the awards market, we know it is what it is, right? It's these odds are reactionary. They're not predictive. They're going to change with each and every performance. Like Philip Rivers shot up to be the second favorite for the comeback player of the year. He throws a pick six, then it drops down. Phillip Rivers is not winning comeback player of the year, guys. I'm sorry to tell you. He's just not. Right? We know the stipulations. It's to reward a player who overcame a hardship that prevented them from playing games the season before. Hardship being identified as an injury or other reasons that prevented them from playing. Voluntary retirement for the last 5 seasons is not a hardship that prevented you from playing football last year. And playing 2 games does not make you the comeback player of the year. I'm sorry. Anybody wants to make that bet, I'll gladly house your bet. Just call me up. I'll take your money. Because that's what the sports book's doing here, is taking your money. But let's look at the coach of the year odds. This is an interesting award. Because the writers that vote for this oftentimes vote for the best story as opposed to the coach that overcomes the most adversity. A lot of times it goes to an overachieving coach, right? On a bad team that wins more games than they're expected to win. Look no further than Kevin Stefanski with the Browns. Or when Brian Daboll won it with the New York Giants. He covered every week, defied expectations. But when you look at the market, the favorite right now is Mike Vrabel. The Patriots are certainly an incredible story. Kyle Shanahan has shot up now to the second favorite. We'll talk about him in a minute at plus 210. Mike McDonald's next at plus 380. Ben Johnson's plus 600. Liam Cohen of the Jaguars, plus 800. Mike Vrabel, Mike McDonald, Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen, they're all great stories. No one has done a better coaching job this year than Kyle Shanahan. And honestly, it's not even close. And I think if you ask football people, not, you know, the writers or media members that vote on this stuff, but like former coaches and general managers and people around the game, they would agree. Yes, Ben Johnson has coached up that offense for sure. And he has made Caleb Williams look better. But the Bears, pretty good roster, pretty good talent. Defense has been shaky. The offensive lines look great this year. Ben Johnson's done a good job. Mike Vrabel has certainly changed the culture of the New England Patriots. No doubt he has had an impact on that team. And Drake May is an MVP candidate. Is that because of Josh McDaniels, though? Or is it, you know, Mike Vrabel and the culture? I think culture is a big thing for me. It's huge. Liam Cohen has certainly elevated Trevor Lawrence's game. The Jaguars offense looks great. The Jaguars defense, the Jaguars, their line play has been great this year. And Mike McDonald, what more can you say about the Seahawks defense and Sam Darnold? And, you know, they win some games ugly, but what a season it's been for them. Find me another coach. Forget about this season because you can't this season. But find me a coach. Try and go back past couple of years. Try and go back the entire history of the NFL. Find me a coach that has had to play half the season without their starting quarterback. More than half the season, the majority of the season, without their defensive player of the year candidate, one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. Another defensive player of the year candidate, an all-pro linebacker, one of the best linebackers, your green dot player, the guy that calls your plays, arguably the heart and soul of your defense. You have no wide receiver, literally. Your running back is your leading wide receiver. Your stud tight end missed several games this season. And that team has a chance over the next 2 weeks to go 13-4 and be the number one seed in the NFC. Kyle Shanahan is the coach of the year. You want to talk about adversity? You want to talk about exceeding expectations? The amount of injuries that the 49ers have dealt with this year and to still be in a position to have a 13-win season and be the number one seed in the NFC, no one has accomplished that. That's the best coaching job we might have seen in years in the NFL. And okay, say what you will about Mac Jones being a capable backup, okay. Say what you will about, you know, McCaffrey stepping up and being an all-world, all-everything player, and Robert Saleh coaching up that defense and dealing with all the injuries, and Saleh certainly, you know, he's the assistant coach of the year, whatever you want to say. But how many one seeds in the NFL playoffs have played more than half the season without their starting quarterback? And again, missing their two best defensive players and have their running back as their number, as their leading wide receiver. I don't think you can find any team that has done that. And no, I'm not counting Kurt Warner in the greatest show on turf because Trent Green got hurt in the preseason. Kurt Warner played the whole season. Revelation, Hall of Famer, we know. This has been an incredible job by Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the question is, Does them being at home, is that enough? If they win these next two games, is that enough to bet on them in the postseason? This defensive performance here against the Indianapolis Colts on Monday Night Football was pretty embarrassing, honestly. And I don't know if it was the 49ers playing with their food. I don't know if it was Robert Saleh saying, hey, we're going to win the game ugly, or not ugly, but we're going to win the game. Doesn't matter what Phillip Rivers does. But you went up against, same thing as Seattle last year, which baffled me. You went up against a 44-year-old immobile quarterback. You talked about it all week, how you couldn't let Phillip Rivers treat this game like it was 7-on-7, and you had to get pressure on him. The Colts had two backup tackles in this game, and their center suffered a concussion on the opening drive. They had three backup offensive linemen in this game. You blitz one time in the third quarter. You don't pressure Phillip Rivers at all in the entire first half and halfway through the third quarter. No wonder Rivers went down the field and scored touchdowns on his first two opening drives. That really, I was scratching my head at that. I really was. But a good win for the 49ers, and now they are in control of their path to the number one seed in the NFC. If you're looking for the perfect holiday gift or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season, well, VSiN's holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, the AI prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and everything that we cover through March Madness, the Masters. You get all the betting guides as well. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe today.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As we tie a bow around Monday Night Football with the 49ers defeating the Indianapolis Colts, Indy, their playoff hopes are on life support. If the Texans win on Saturday against the Chargers, well, the Colts game against the Jaguars on Sunday is meaningless, and they are eliminated from postseason contention. The NFL slate will get started here week 17 early. We have the three games on Christmas Day and then two games on Saturday. And we got quarterback situations that are certainly going to make for a very, very interesting slate of games. The Dallas Cowboys are at the Washington Commanders. Dallas, a 6 to 6.5 point favorite over the Commanders, and certainly the quarterback situation for the Commanders is up in the air. Marcus Mariota is officially questionable day to day, and we don't know what's going to happen. He did sit out the walkthrough here on Monday, so he did not participate in the walkthrough, meaning Josh Johnson is going to start for the Commanders here against the Dallas Cowboys. And for the participants in Circa Survivor, I feel like anybody that has the Dallas Cowboys is going to play the Dallas Cowboys, right? Like that's who you have to play here on Thursday, because I don't know if you could trust anybody else. And I don't think anybody's got the Lions left. That's the second game, is the Lions taking on the Vikings, where J.J. McCarthy for Minnesota dealing with his hand injury, it could be Max Brosmer at quarterback, and likely will be. J.J. McCarthy did not practice. Their running back, Jordan Mason, did not practice. Max Brosmer starting at quarterback here for the Vikings coming up against the Lions on Christmas. I keep saying Thanksgiving. It's just because it's like it's a Thursday. It's also, so it's very confusing for me, on Christmas Thursday. And then Chris Oladukun, in place of the injured Gardner Minshew, in place of the injured Patrick Mahomes, will be the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs as they are 12.5 point home dogs against the Denver Broncos. And you just wonder what this Chiefs fan base is going to be like in that game. Are they happy about the new stadium? Are they upset? Are they going to party? Because you know, they only have a couple of years left of Arrowhead now. That was the new story that came out here in the NFL on Monday, is that the Chiefs are getting a new football stadium. They are moving out of Kansas City, Missouri, just across the water to Kansas City, Kansas, where they will be building a domed stadium for the Kansas City Chiefs. And we're going to get to a point where more than half the league has indoor stadiums. So cherish these moments while you have them in the cold weather there at Arrowhead. On Saturday, we have two games. The Houston Texans take on the Chargers. The Chargers are a short home favorite, 2.5 or so, over the Houston Texans. And then the Ravens are at the Packers, where the Ravens, their season, like the Colts, on life support, they are not in control of anything right now. If the Ravens, even if they beat the Packers here on Saturday, it doesn't mean anything, because if the Steelers beat the Browns on Sunday, Pittsburgh clinches the division. The Ravens' hopes of making the playoffs are done. So they need help. They need to win. They need help. But this could be, maybe we don't see Lamar Jackson in this game. It's just the injuries are piling up here at the end of the year. And what a change we are seeing here in the NFL, a changing of the guard, right? As we're going to have a postseason without Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, without Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, possibly without, likely without Jared Goff and the Lions. Big turnover here in the NFL. And you know something that we always talk about, right? Every single year, there is a team that goes from last place to first place. And every season, people are trying to speculate who's going to be that team. Who's going to be the team that goes from last place to first place? And I think a lot of people speculated that this year it was going to be the Cincinnati Bengals, even though, well, the Bengals weren't in last place. The Browns were in last place. But and the Bengals did finish the season with a good record, I guess, a good, decent 9-8 last year. But it's the Chicago Bears this year. And the 49ers. 49ers were 6-11 last year in last place in the division. They could finish in first place if they win out. The Bears were 5-12 last year in last place. They're going to win their division. Two last place teams. And the Panthers tied for last place in their division. They have an opportunity to win their division. So it's every year we got a team. This is what the NFL is. It's a league of parity. You go from last place to first place the next year. And so look at this year's teams that are going to be in last place. Who has the chance to elevate themselves to first place next season? Last place, the Jets in the AFC East. We'll move on. Cleveland Browns in the North. Meh, no. Titans in the South. No. Raiders. No. Giants in the NFC East. Probably not. Vikings. Nah. Saints. I mean, maybe it's the Saints. Tyler Shuck has looked good. They've won three straight games. And the Cardinals in the West, I don't think so. I think that's going to be a really fun conversation once this season ends, is to try and project the last place team from this year that is going to finish as a first place team next year, because it happens every season. So one of these teams that finishes in last place this year, it's going to step up and make the playoffs and be the first place team in 2026. But here are your playoff standings right now. In the AFC, the Denver Broncos are your one seed right now at 12-3. They have the tiebreaker over New England because of their win percentage in common games right now. So Patriots are the two seed at 12-3 also. Jacksonville is at 11-4, but Jacksonville hasn't clinched the division just yet. The Texans can still win that division. Steelers are 9-6, likely winners of the North, as they have an opportunity to clinch coming up here on Sunday. Chargers, currently your 5 seed at 11-4. Bills, currently your 6 seed at 11-4. Texans, currently your 7 seed at 10-5. But they could win the division and maybe knock the Jaguars down and eliminate the Colts from contention. The Colts still in contention right now at 8-7, and technically the Ravens at 7-8 still in contention, because if the Steelers lose to the Browns here on Sunday and the Ravens win, then it comes down to that Week 18 game. In the NFC, we've talked a lot about how the 49ers are in control of their own path. If they win out, they will be the one seed and win the NFC West. But right now, it is the Seahawks who are your one seed at 12-3. The Bears are your two seed at 11-4. The Eagles at 10-5 are the three seed. And then it's going to be the winner of the South. Right now, it's the Carolina Panthers at 8-7. But it'll still come down to that Week 18 matchup, the rematch, with the Tampa Bay Bucs. So Tampa could win that game. If they win the next two games, Tampa could steal the division from the Carolina Panthers. Right now, it's the 49ers as the five seed and the Rams as the six seed, but that could change. It could be the Seahawks. It could be the Rams. And then the seven seed right now is the Packers at 9-5-1. The Lions are at 8-7. The Lions will be eliminated if the Packers win against the Ravens on Saturday. Even if the Lions win on Christmas, because the most wins the Lions can get is 10. And the Packers, if they win, they'll have a 10th win. And even if they lose in Week 18, they'll only have six losses because of that tie. So the best record the Lions can finish with is 10-7. The best record the Packers can finish with, or the worst record, I should say, if they win on Saturday, would be 10-5-1. They would make the playoffs. So that's where we sit here. I think it's going to be really fun to watch which team, you know, like the 49, it's either 49ers, Rams, or Seahawks. We're going to have 11 and 12 win teams have to go on the road in the first round of the playoffs to play against. Like, one of these teams is going to play against either the Panthers or the Bucks, and then the other team is going to have to go up against the Eagles, maybe the Bears. So the first, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to watch the first couple of rounds here of the NFC playoff picture. Your odds right now to win the NFC, which, again, this is all going to change as the standings kind of change here. The Rams are your darlings, right? The Rams are the favorites right now. Rams to win the NFC is at +240, Seahawks +290, Eagles +550. 49ers 6-1, Bears +850, Packers +850. If the 49ers win the next two games and they have the bye, they would be a very interesting bet. The bye is just so, so important. It is so important, guys. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the three college football bowl games that are here on Tuesday, including our very own UNLV Rebels taking on Ohio in the Frisco Bowl. So we have three college bowl games here. On Tuesday, we'll take a look ahead. We'll peek a look ahead at some of the college bowl games coming up later on this week, and then get you some best bets for the NBA slate here on Tuesday and the NHL slate here on Tuesday as well, because the NHL will be playing its final games before they take off for the next couple of days for their Christmas break. And speaking of hockey, coming up later on this week, one of my favorite events to bet on, the IIHF World Junior Championships, where it's always been a profitable event to bet for me. So we'll get into that coming up throughout this week as well. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as bowl season continues here in college football. And it is a very challenging thing to bet these bowl games, which is why you have to pay attention to the opt-outs, and different websites do provide the opt-out trackers to find out who's playing in this game. Coaching changes certainly play a huge factor in these bowl games as well, as you figure out which teams are going to be with an interim coaching staff and which teams are going to be with their current coaching staff. It's just a whole mess of things to pay attention to during this bowl season. We have three games that we get to bet on here coming up on Tuesday. Toledo will take on Louisville in the Boca Raton Bowl, being played in, you guessed it, Boca Raton, Florida. Currently, right now, we have Louisville as an 8.5-point favorite, total of 43.5. And looking at the opt-out situation here for this game, let's see. You got the stud defensive end for Toledo, Malachi Davis, who is not going to play as he entered the transfer portal. Their starting safety, as well as one of their starting linebackers, also not expected to play in this game. A couple other players are, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Their quarterback, probably doubtful. So you're going to get a freshman at quarterback here for Toledo. Caleb Osborne is expected to start at quarterback. He hasn't really played much this year, so not much to expect there. And then the coaching staff is just all a mess. The co-offensive coordinator and quarterback coach is going to serve as the interim coach. Their defensive coordinator is gone. Their co-defensive coordinator is gone. Their special teams coordinator is gone. Their offensive line coach is going to be calling the offense. And their cornerbacks coach is going to be calling the defense. And a bunch of graduate assistants are going to be doing some things. What a mess. What a mess. I mean, as long as Miller Moss, the quarterback of Louisville, plays, how do they not win this game by double digits? Like, Toledo is a mess right now with all the coaching changes and whatnot. So Louisville, 8 to 8.5 point favorites. It would be Louisville or pass for me in this game. Can't look anywhere else because of, again, all the uncertainty there with Toledo, all the opt-outs and the coaching situation, which we have seen. We have watched these games so far in bowl season that have had these lack of coaching staffs, and the teams don't look prepared, and the coaches don't look like they know how to handle in-game coaching situations. So something to really keep an eye on here. The next game of the day is going to be Western Kentucky and Southern Miss in the New Orleans Bowl, played in New Orleans. This is a fun game, fast track there indoors, Western Kentucky against Southern Miss. Disappointing end of the season for Southern Miss. A lot of people thought that they were going to be on their way towards a conference championship, and it didn't quite end that way. Doesn't look like we're going to have many opt-outs here for Western Kentucky or Southern Miss. Charles Huff took the Memphis job, so you could have some more opt-outs there with Southern Miss. And the offensive coordinator, Blake Anderson, is going to serve as the interim coach. He is actually going to be the head coach next season. So I actually do like that situation. A couple of situations I like with interim coaches. One, when it's a defensive coach. Because it always feels like when a defensive coach takes over as the interim coach, defensive coordinator, a linebackers coach, a strength and conditioning guy, whatever, the players play hard for that defensive coach. Because it always feels like that coach has more of a pulse of the players than an offensive coach per se. Like a defensive coach is often with the players in the weight room, often just in your face, kind of a rough attitude. And it just feels like they are more motivational guys that get the players to play harder. So whenever a defensive coach takes over as an interim, I like that more than if it's an offensive assistant that takes over in the interim. And then there's the whole other side of things where it's the next head coach, right? Maybe it's a current coach that's on staff now that is taking over, you know, that the players are going to play for and fight for because they're happy that that coach is sticking around. So while their head coach is leaving, the defensive coordinator now becomes the head coach. And everyone's thrilled. Everyone's excited. I mean, look no further than Ole Miss, right? Lane Kiffin gone to LSU. Pete Golding, who has been a longtime defensive coordinator, obviously worked with Nick Saban at Alabama. He's with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss for the past couple of years. Go watch the video of him being introduced in that players meeting as the next head coach. Those players all get out of their seats. They're all excited. They're jumping up. They're thrilled. Those are the situations I love because that shows me that the players are going to play hard for that coach. And there's synergy, and you're not going to skip a beat. You're not going to miss things with an interim coach taking over because this is what your program is going to look like. But then again, when it comes to that situation, is that coach trying to win that game? Or is that coach trying to evaluate what his roster is going to look like for next season? So for Blake Anderson taking over as the head coach at Ole Miss, being elevated from the offensive coordinator to now the head coach for next season, him being a head coach for his first game here in this bowl game, is he going out for a win? Now, if he wasn't named the head coach, I'd be like, yeah, for sure, because he wants to earn the job. He's already got the job. So is he more concerned about winning this game or about seeing what his roster is going to look like for next season? Western Kentucky is a short favorite in this game in the New Orleans Bowl, 1.5-point favorites total of 58.5. And then you got the Frisco Bowl between UNLV and Ohio being played in Frisco, Texas. Man, the names of these bowls are just so original. UNLV currently a 7-point favorite over Ohio. High total in this one, 66.5. And I think UNLV is going to score a ton of points on Ohio. I talked about this earlier. The coaching situation with Ohio, losing their head coach in an unfavorable situation where the players are left in the dark. No one knows what's going on. It's like the players show up for practice one day and all of a sudden the head coach is gone. And then no one knows anything. At least no one in the program is saying anything. And you're hearing rumors. Oh, why is the coach suspended? What's going on? You're reading things on Twitter. And then a day or so later, it's not a suspension. It's not a leave anymore. The coach has been dismissed. You find out he was engaging in some shady behavior. You know, who knows? Who knows the details, the particular details? We don't need to get into it. All we need to know is that obviously this took the players by surprise. And how do they handle it? The defensive coordinator, John Hauser, takes over as the interim coach. So that's a situation I do like. But when this happens all of a sudden, when this happens without warning, how do the players react? How does everybody pull this thing together? It just feels like a spot where UNLV is going to roll over Ohio here in this game. So I am actually on UNLV. That is the one game that I did bet out of these three games coming up here. Again, it would be Louisville or pass for me in this game, but the one game that I did already bet was UNLV. I bet their team total over earlier last week. I would still play it. It's at 37.5, so it's a little bit higher than what it was about a week or so ago, but I do still like the UNLV team total to go over, and I do like UNLV laying the 7 here still in this game over Ohio. So those are the only two that I have played. Again, you're getting taxed now on the number. This total has gone way up because it was, as I mentioned, about 34.5 on their team total. Now it's at 37.5, but I still think UNLV puts up 40 points or so in this game. Coming up the rest of this week, though, we got a lot of fun bowl games. I mean, the Hawaii Bowl being played on Christmas Eve is, I mean, I am looking forward to that game maybe more so than most of these bowl games, to be honest with you. I have already bet Hawaii in that game against Cal. I have already bet the over in that game coming up here on Christmas Eve, Hawaii and Cal, because we're going to see fireworks. We're going to see points. Hawaii, this game means a lot to them. This game means a lot to Hawaii. To have this game that was taken away from them for a little bit, now they get it back. And man, you have a situation here where Timmy Chang, the head coach at Hawaii, is going to be coaching against his former backup quarterback and very good friend in Nick Rolovich, who used to be the Hawaii coach, by the way, who takes over as the interim coach there for Cal. You know they're going to want to throw the ball all over the field. The Hawaii, you have both quarterbacks are Hawaiian, right? The Cal quarterback's Hawaiian. You obviously have Mike Alejandro, the quarterback from Hawaii. Like, this is going to be a fun shootout game out on the island between two coaches very, very familiar and close with each other that understand the history and the magnitude of this game. I love Hawaii in this game, and I love the over in this game. We'll talk more about that as we get into tomorrow's program for cashing out as well. I'm Scott Satterberg. You hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Coming up next, we're going to get into the NBA slate here on Tuesday, the NHL slate as well, and give you some best bets for Tuesday's action. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Matt Zatterberg back here with you. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We have a busy slate of NBA games here on Tuesday, as well as NHL games, as both leagues get ready to take a day off on Christmas Eve. And for the NBA, we'll have the marquee matchups, the five games coming up on Christmas Day. For the NHL, they'll be off for the next 2 days as they take their Christmas break and then return for the weekend. Taking a look at the NHL slate here first, as we do have a couple of, nationally televised games. Penguins will be at the Maple Leafs. That should be a fun one there. Stars are at the Red Wings. Rangers at the Capitals. Canadiens visit the Bruins. Boy, the Bruins have been disappointing. Sabres are at the Senators. Ottawa has been so fun to watch this season and very fun to bet on, by the way. Devils are at the Islanders. Is there a better storyline than Jack Hughes, Jack Hughes missing a month for the New Jersey Devils, and then coming back after a month and scoring a goal in his first game back? Like, of course Jack Hughes did that. Special kid. Panthers are at the Hurricanes, you got the Predators at the Wild, Flyers visit the Blackhawks, Mammoth are at the Avalanche. Now, there is something to this rivalry. Let me just say this. I don't know what it is, but the Mammoth, formerly the Coyotes, and last year, the Utah Hockey Club, for some reason, they give the Avalanche fits. As good as the Avalanche have been, I don't know what it is, but this season, they have played, let's see, how many times have they played this season? It has been, I'm going to look up the matchups here, because then I'm going to tell you what it has been. They've played five games so far. The Avalanche are 3-2. Against the Mammoth, 2-3 on the puck line, and the games are 4-1 to the under. Okay, right? That's what it has been this year. Last year, when they were the Utah Hockey Club, right? This was, let's see. Is it UHC? I got to pull this up. This was did they not have Utah? Let's see. So it was 2-3 this year. Puck line not doing well also. But the Avalanche last year against Utah also, same team. They struggled, right? So it's crazy because I don't know what it is. And even going back to when this team was in Arizona, they had fits with this team. Last year against, Mammoth, they were 2-0, they changed the name in the database to the Mammoth. So it is official. Utah Hockey Club became the Mammoth. 2-1 in three games last year. 3-0 to the under last year. And 4-1 to the under this year. So the last two seasons, we are at 7-1 to the under for the Avalanche going up against the Utah Mammoth. 2 years ago, when they were the Coyotes, the Avalanche were 2-2 against them. Those games were 3-1 to the over, right? Going back to 2022 against the Coyotes, they were 3-1 against them. They have fits with this team. Is it Carl Vemelka in net? I don't know. At whatever reason, it's just a fun matchup to keep an eye on. So maybe we take a look at the Mammoth. Or maybe we just take a look at the under here between the Mammoth and the Avalanche. I will say the goaltenders have been pretty good for both of these teams. Total in this game is at 6.5. It is juiced to the under. I'm actually going to file that as a play here. Let's go under 6.5 between the Avalanche and the Mammoth. Elsewhere, you got the Flames at the Oilers. We talked about, Sharks here in Vegas against the Golden Knights. And the Kraken are at the Kings. Both teams played here on Monday night. So you got both teams playing on the second of a back-to-back. And this season, that has been an under trend. So when you have both teams playing on the second of a back-to-back, the games go under. So let's go under between the Kraken and the Kings. And let's look at that current line right now is at 5.5. So it is a lower total, -110 to the under. But we'll go 5.5 to under 5.5 between the Kraken and the Kings. Games this year with both teams having no rest, 21-16 to the under. There you have it. Some trends for you there. In the NBA, we have a very interesting scheduling quirk here on Tuesday because the San Antonio Spurs play against the Oklahoma City Thunder. These two teams will also play against each other on Christmas. So we have the first of two matchups between these two teams. You never want to assume, guys. You know what happens when you assume, right? But I would make an educated guess that Victor Wembanyama does not play on Tuesday night against the Thunder so that Wembanyama can play on Christmas against the Thunder. And if you're the NBA, do you pick up the phone a little bit? Do you pick up the phone and say and make that call? And say, hey, listen, guys, I know you're trying to work on the load management here. You know, he might play. You don't want him to play this game. You don't want him to play this game. In fact, I can actually see a bunch of players maybe sitting out this game because they're going to play on Christmas. I initially wanted to take the Thunder at minus 6.5 here on the road, but the play might actually be to go under 234.5 in that game. Because we might get a situation where some Thunder players sit out. And we could also have a situation where, because the Thunder are playing on the second of a back-to-back. So it's the second of a back-to-back. You have the Christmas game coming up. That's very important for them. Very important for the NBA, of course. You probably get a situation where the Thunder cruise out to a big lead here and you don't get, you know, SGA playing in the fourth quarter, which he doesn't play in the fourth quarter anyway. I like the Thunder. I do like the under. Maybe it's a Spurs team total under as well, if Wemby certainly doesn't play. Here's what else we know as far as players not playing. The Knicks take on the Timberwolves. They will be without Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby for this game because the Knicks are sitting them so that they can get ready to play against the Cavs on Christmas Day. So the Timberwolves currently 6.5-point favorites over the Knicks. I think the Timberwolves beat the New York Knicks. I'll lay the 6.5 because the Knicks, they're focused on the Christmas Day game. Now, could you get a big Karl-Anthony Towns performance? Maybe. His player prop is listed at 26.5, so you're certainly paying a tax on Cat going up against his former team because they really, who else are they going to rely on offense? Maybe it's Tyler Kolek is who they're going to rely on offense for the Knicks. Josh Hart, maybe. So no OG Anunoby and no Jalen Brunson. I think it could lead to an over, possibly. 225.5 is the total. I could see it going over with probably not a defensive-minded effort for the New York Knicks or the Timberwolves here in this game. Again, the Knicks looking ahead to the Christmas Day slate. Other games here in the NBA on Tuesday, you got the Wizards at the Hornets. Nets are at the Sixers. Bulls visit the Hawks. Pelicans are at the Cavs. Cavs will play the Knicks in the early game on Christmas. Bucks are at the Pacers. Raptors at the Heat. Nuggets visit the Mavericks. You got the Lakers at the Suns. LA will be home on Christmas. You got the Grizzlies at the Jazz. Magic visit the Blazers. And Pistons at the Kings, Rockets at the Clippers. Rockets 6.5-point favorite against the Clippers. And this will be the first of two games in LA. Obviously different arenas now because of the Intuit Dome. But they play the Clippers here Tuesday night. And then they will play the Lakers on Christmas at the Lakers home, obviously, Staples Center, Crypto, whatever it's called now. Houston 4.5-point favorites against the Lakers in that game on Christmas. I lean towards the Rockets here on Tuesday against the Clippers. Get the first of the wins out of the way here in LA. Don't forget, wake up tomorrow morning with VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis starting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on the show. Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, will be joining them to talk about his NBA best bets. And then stick around for a numbers game with Gil Alexander coming your way at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, followed by prop points with the guru, John Hansen, at 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll get his thoughts on, obviously, what we saw on Monday Night Football with Phillip Rivers, and if maybe we don't even see Phillip Rivers again if the Colts are eliminated with a Texans win coming up on Saturday. Special thanks to Jared, Garrett, Alexis, Lydia, Daniel, and everyone behind the scenes who puts this show together. Again, stay tuned. VSiN by the Books coming your way at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. If Dave Ross tries to spew any nonsense about Phillip Rivers winning Comeback Player of the Year, Show him that pick six. Show him the Colts being eliminated from postseason contention. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have plenty of breakdown of the college football bowl games. We'll preview the Christmas slate again with best bets coming up as well. This is Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.